Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/mysurvey, or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Drewski?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like crap. I don't know why either. Well, I didn't sleep last night. I don't know why. Sleeping.
Yeah, those nights can throw you off immensely.
Yeah.
I wonder. It's an interesting time because for the first time ever, we're talking about sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
When I was, if you don't believe me, there's a million mattress commercials about they just $400. They deliver them straight to your door. Blah 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 blah. When we were growing up, when I was growing up. Everything to do with bedding and beds was kind of a luxury.
Yeah.
Like if you saw a rich person, they had the four-posted bed with the canopy and the blah, blah, blah. And then the regular folks, you just had a mattress,
Hey.
Yeah.
Just stuff to fill a pillow, a case with hay.
Yeah. No, my mom had a mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
And no one ever talked about like, hey, do you want a new mattress or a box spring mattress set or new bedding or fitted sheets or whatever. It's just I had a blanket. That was my blanket.
Well, the idea of replacing a mattress. My wife's very involved in, this mattress is worn out. Like, I don't think we ever, my entire family of origin history replaced a mattress. Right? Did you?
No. Any more than you would replace a steel plate in your head.
Right.
Like, we didn't replace mattress. We didn't replace food. Right. We're forget about mattresses. Hey, that's it. We're out of spaghetti. It's going to be a rough life. What are you going to do? Like, I mean, seriously, furniture. I didn't know you could buy new furniture. I didn't know if I was going to replace it. We didn't replace it, but new furniture. Yeah. We would see, we had this sofa that was this burlappy, itchy, green kind of horsehair mess. And it was just this big blob of a puke green sofa. And it had no shape or arms or anything to it. It was just like a blah, and it made a weird noise when you sat on it and so on and so forth.
It was a blah.
And blah. And like, it was my mom's. It was at my mom. And then when my dad got divorced, and then the sofa went with him. And then he moved into his house. And then the sofa went over to that house. It was like, you wouldn't just move and get a new sofa. I was like, this sofa would follow you around for years, decades. Silverware, plates, like the same. Like there was nothing.
Well, if you moved, you moved your everything. You had to buy. If you were to move a house, you have to say, well, does this stuff fit in it?
They'd make it fit.
Yeah.
So when it came to like sleep hygiene, it was just pretty much I had cot mattresses, basically. I started in the service porch on a miniature little bed, but not a box spring and mattress. There wasn't enough room on the service porch. And then at some point I went to like my dad's apartment, but that was just another like sofa sleep. And then I went up into the loft and that was another sort of mattress on a piece of wood. And then when they got their new house, when they got a decent house, it was still a mattress up on a kind of a box. It wasn't a box spring. It was a piece of wood. And no thoughts to eye shades or fans or noise making devices or earplugs or anything. Like the deal was, is if you live by the freeway, you just hold the pillow over your head. It was just a sort of a lump it kind of thing. It was weird. Like last night, just last night, Lynette was like, Where's the fan? Can I tell you how many times this has happened in my life? Just sort of randomness. Like, I was on a road trip last weekend, and I tend to, when I'm on a road trip, sort of pull everything out of the trunk of my car, and I'll sort of set it on this workbench by in my garage. So there was a fan there that I took with me on the road trip, by the way. One of my few. I'm staying in an Airbnb, and it's going to be hot. Mm. And I bet they don't have a fan lying around because they don't want to burn the kilowatts. So I'm going to pack my own fan. And I did. And it was good. But it's this thing where you go, so there was some beers on there. There was a fan on there. There was just some junk from my trunk on there. And I said to my guy, Rob, I said, you know, tidy up the garage before I leave. Before you leave. And I said, like, well, what do you want me to do with the beers? You know, and I said, just put the beers where the beer goes on the shelf. Just put the stuff where it goes kind of thing. Then, of course, last night, I was sitting in my office about 10 o'clock, and I got the, hey, do you know where the fan is? From Lynette. For Sonny. Because Sonny needs a fan. Because now it's, we think about it. You know what I mean? Like, when we were kids, like, it's hot. Well, it's hot. Everyone's hot. Go to sleep. Shut the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, open a window. Who cares? Go to bed.
Hose it out back.
Yeah. Like now, yeah, I hose myself off. He's like, where's the fan? And I said, I took it with me, but I'm back. Is it in the trunk of your car? No, I took it out. It's probably in the garage. I looked in the garage, not in the garage. All right. Let me go look. Go out, walked in, walked to the garage. Chrome fan just sitting on top of the workbench. And I just thought, Rob, you could have put it away. Lynette, you probably could have found it. Like, I didn't have to make the walk. I know no one cares about the walk, but let's be a little more on top of things. Let me relax a little over here. I can't tell you how many times. Have you guys had this happen a million times in your life where you go, where's the fill in the blank? Where's the cooler? Where's the fan? Where's everything? And it's like, you just say to your old lady, it's in the garage. It's on the shelf. Is it in the garage? No, it is not. It happened, men and women, like all the time. Like, then because I'm right 99% of the time, I go, I took it with me, and then I took everything out of my trunk, so I didn't bring it. It's in the garage somewhere. And then you make the walk out. They go, I've checked the garage, or I've checked the pantry, or I've checked the whatever. And then you go, I thought I put it. Then you walk over to the pantry. They go over there and go, it's right here. I go, okay, I didn't see it. And you're like, are you just fucking with me? Like,
no,
are you trying to get me? I know they're not fucking with me, but what I'm saying is, like,
I can't find a guy. I know.
No, you're the I'd like to shit on your point guy. And
secondly,
I'm the I can't find a guy.
You're right.
Secondly, there's a big gap, and then there's yes, I'm the I can't. Let me shit on Adam guy.
No,
and then there's I can't find a guy.
My point is,
there's a thing. It's a cooler. It's a fan. It's a whatever. My answer to you is, I think I put it in the garage, or I think I put it in the pantry, or I think I put it out front. When that comes out of my mouth, there's now a 99.7 chance that it is in that place.
Yes.
Please go find it without me. And then please try to avoid the part where I get up, go walk over, and I go, it's sitting right here.
No, I'm so bad. I would actually qualify it. Like, look, it's me. I didn't see it. Doesn't mean it's not there. You probably are right. So I can go look again, but I probably won't see it again.
Well, how about you close your eyes and feel for it?
I know.
Like, it's there.
Go
find it.
I get it. I get it.
Okay.
I understand.
Adam's right so often that if he says it's in the pantry.
Always right. Always right. Always right.
And I walked by it and I saw it, I'd still look in the pantry.
Well, to be fair, people move things. There's always that element.
The black swan.
The black swan.
Yeah.
Anyway, fan in Sonny's room and sleep hygiene, a big deal. And it just wasn't a big deal.
Well,
in
my
the
sleep
past.
Hygiene last night was for crap. And there, you know, and when you're talking about sleep hygiene, you're talking about sort of bedding and the environment for sleep. But there's actually a physiology we call sleep hygiene, which is, you know, the sleep cycling you're into and whether you have obstructive apnea and whether you're breathing normally and, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, do you have an adequate amount of REM sleep, adequate amount of deep sleep?
Well, I would say to everybody who does nothing about, you know, all we talk about is diet and exercise and good vibes and are you drinking enough water and are you meditating and this and that, sleep.
Very
look
important.
Into your sleep.
Very important.
Spend some time. Mm-hmm. Look, you may work out an hour a day, or you may meditate an hour a day, or you may take supplements for 10 minutes a day, or whatever it is, or your health drink, or whatever it is. But sleep is 8. Please make it a good 8. All right? Feeling good, Drew?
Yeah, let me do a ZipRecruiter thing.
All right.
I'm not feeling good, actually. Tough to find the talent you need for your business, but with ZipRecruiter, you can post jobs to over 100 job sites with just one click. Their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. And these days, finding people is the issue. Plenty of jobs, not the right people to fill those jobs, particularly for the job where you need certain kinds of skills. And unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. Over 80% of jobs posted get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So there's no juggling of emails or calls. You can screen, rate, manage candidates in one place with their easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, for our listeners, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com. All you do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Again, that is ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. And you can post jobs for free. You get to try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ADS.
All right, I'll start at the top, go down to the bottom.
Let's do that.
Bill, 39, Michigan. Bill.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Sorry, this is more of a car cast question, but I just watched your video, you racing your Porsche. I noticed you don't heel-toe downshift.
No, not much at all. Not in the race, and I need to.
What does that mean?
It's a technique where you blip the throttle when you downshift to rev match the gear you're downshifting to, and you should do it. And I think everyone but me does it. And I'm not good at it. And I always say, I'm going to start this race. But my problem is I don't want to do the learning curve, which slows me down. I just do my old way of doing it. So I, Bill, and then when you drive the Trans Am car with the sequential gear shift, you don't have to do it. It just kind of, oh, you can. I mean, it's not going to hurt, but it's not quite as... not quite as crucial as it is with the old pattern. So, Bill, I'm going to commit to learning how to do it because it's one of these things. It's like a golf swing or something where I can kind of do it, but when the tournament comes around, I go to my old swing, which is not heel towing. So
that makes sense, right? Until you're proficient at it, you don't want to.
I kind of always go this race. This is what I do, but then we get into the race and I'm not doing it.
But you're probably not doing it because it's probably not going to improve your performance. So who cares then?
It might. It won't that race. Yeah. If I'd done that 5 years ago, it would have improved my performance.
Okay,
right, Bill?
Yeah, I would suggest, which you have to have a car that you drive every day that's a manual.
Well,
I do it every day.
The problem is I don't drive a car. I drive an automatic, and the only time I drive a stick shift is when I get in a race car. I drive for a year. An automatic, and then I get in the car and it's got a clutch, and we're racing. So, you got to practice it. And I agree. And I always say, here's the other thing I do. I go, I'm going to get a car with a stick shift. I'm going to drive it around for a week before we go to the race so I can get used to heel towing and shifting and clutch and all that. And then I never do.
Why is it called heel toe?
Because that used to be the technique. Mm. Now it's a weird rolling of the foot technique. The idea is apply the brake with your right foot and then roll your right foot over to the throttle and blip the throttle, like punch it for a second, and then shift. It's all kind of a dance. But it's got to take place in kind of milliseconds, and you really have to know, you have to be good at it. Otherwise, it'll just slow you down because you'll be thinking about it or whatever. The real fast guys do left foot braking. They put their left foot on the brake. Which is another whole technique to learn, which is the reason. So how that works is the race cars and street cars as well. If you, in theory, pretty much across the board, if you're shifting from downshifting, this is only downshifting. If you're downshifting from third to second.
Okay.
When you push the clutch in, the engine, which would have been up at a high rev part, as soon as you press the clutch in, it drops down, right? Then you drop it into second, and you let the clutch out, and what happens? It catches again. What if the tachometer was right where it was going to be?
Just never moved.
Well, you blipped it up got it right to the 4,000 or whatever it would have been when you dropped it in the second. You wouldn't have that thing. The guys should do the left foot braking, stay off the clutch, put their foot on the left, put their left foot on the brake pedal, and match the revs with the right foot and shift without the clutch. Faster, and as long as you can match the revs, you don't need the clutch.
Wow.
But that takes a little while.
Yeah.
To master. As you can imagine, putting the brake on with your left foot feel weird, right?
But then you'd have to get the RPMs exactly right.
Well, it becomes pretty easy with your right foot because you're on the throttle.
It'd be easy to screw that up.
Right. Yeah. But if what I should do is I should go away to throttle and brake sleepaway camp for 3 days and just do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You need to get a stick car.
Yeah.
There's so many good ones out there. I mean, you have to get an older car to do that, or they?
People make a few, but yeah. not too many.
I miss that. That M5 I had, oh my God.
Yeah, but the reality is you need a stick shift car and an automatic because you can't commit full time to the stick shift anymore.
I drove that M5 for 3 years.
I drove a Datsun mini truck for years, you know, but I mean, in this day and age, I don't know that you'd want to go stick full. Would you not disagree with me, for Christ's sake? You wouldn't go full-time stick. You couldn't go, I'm going to buy a car with a stick shift. I live in L.A., and I'm this age. I'm this tax bracket, and I'm going to drive this thing for 3 years every day. No, you'd have to go, I got this car, and I got this weekend car, or this whatever. And then you could go out and get your jollies on the weekend or take it out on a Monday. But every single day, everywhere you went, it'd get a little old. Mm. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're heading out to Anaheim tonight. You're going to be riding traffic literally from the time you leave here to the time you get to Anaheim. You will be bumper to bumper, nonstop. Could you imagine doing that in a stick shift?
Misery.
All right. There we go. Thank you. It's weird, but the whole next gen has no idea. I took my kids out in a stick shift just to kind of blow their mind. Like about a year ago, I just took them out in a stick shift.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like accelerating. They're like, what the heck? And I was like shifting in the next year and like chirped it a little bit. And Sonny was like yelling, we're going to get into trouble. He was wanting me to obey the posted speed limits and stuff. It's awesome, right? All right, Jesse, 28, Florida. Jesse?
Ace man, Drew, what's up?
Going on, man?
Not much. Sitting in Miami traffic right now. It's all fun.
At least you got that stick shift to keep you company.
Yeah, my Grand Caravan has that thing. I'm running it to the max.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet ride. Got a decal of wood on the side. Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. I just want to know why maybe it is that a bunch of my college buddies are all getting married or having steady girlfriends, and I'm in bouncing around, and I just kind of, I'm like apathetic about it. I travel a lot for work. I'm in medical sales, but I just don't seem to have like the gumption to want to put any effort into anything long term.
I don't think he's unusual. I hear a lot of this from people, mostly a little younger than Jesse, but a lot in this age group.
Right,
and I'm not sure what it is. It's a epidemic.
Well, I mean,
porn, part of it.
It's porn.
See,
it's a ponderance.
A ponderance of porn.
A ponderance of porn. What's the definition?
Oh my
of ponderance?
God, preponderance
of my pud.
I just got ponderance.
I'll look it up.
But preponderance, it's a preponderance.
Okay, which means in a excess. Predominance.
This says in British, it is weight or significance.
Preponderance or ponderance?
Ponderance.
Talk about preponderance.
All right. It is a to me,
quality or fact of being greater in number, quantity, or importance.
But quantity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quantity, not all just weight and importance. It's quantity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's a preponderance.
What would happen to you if you were like a young man with all this free porn?
Well, so
your penis off?
It's a ton of free porn.
Yeah.
Because I would have learned, like I would have learned the heel toe technique. I would have been born into it. You know what I mean?
What would you call that technique?
Palm toe. Here's the deal. You have all the free porn.
Yeah.
You have living until 90.
You have
this you know, Tinder life and all the flat screens.
Prolonged dependency on parents. That's a little prolonged these days.
And the general...
Not in a bad way. I don't have a problem with it. It's just what it is.
No, but let's just dig. Dig.
Digging.
All right. Turn of the century, or go back a century before that. Let's just go back 200 years ago.
Okay. 1820.
1820. A woman played a significant role in a man's life. Significant. Yeah. Not only did he need her for, you know, companionship and love, sex, and all that
Worked
stuff,
far.
But we needed a partner here in this endeavor called life.
Listen, Abraham Lincoln's father, after his mom died, Sarah, the first one was Anne or something, and he went to town to get a wife. He needed a wife. He went to town to get a wife and came back with a wife.
I want you to tell the story to Lynette next time you guys come over for dinner. Where's Adam? He went to town. Where? What do you mean? Abraham Lincoln's just use Sarah or whatever. She's not going to call you on it.
She's
not going to correct you. And she's in town. He's getting a wife. Why not good enough for Abraham's dad?
He'll be back with one. It may take a week or so.
So, he may be kicking some tires. You know what I mean? It could be a while.
Whatever.
So, okay. 200 years ago, you needed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're looking at it and you're going, well, I have Grubhub. They're bringing food to the house, right? Mm-hmm. I got my flat panel TV. Yeah. I got YouPorn and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
I got I'm not rich, but it still don't mean I don't have a fun car with good air conditioning and a big panel TV and 500 channels. And I go out, and then there's all the activities. Mm. I mean, you think about what everyone has got to do. There's the Micro Brew Fest coming up at the racetrack this weekend, and then we're all going out to whatever. And you go from necessity to kind of luxury item.
Oh,
you know, like, it'd be nice to settle down one day, but not going to town.
Yeah.
So, I could see myself, not now. I could see myself one day maybe having a couple kids, maybe when I'm done having fun, but not now. Yeah. You know? So back then, that didn't exist. And the further you get away from that world, the more it just kind of becomes a choice, not a necessity.
Right.
And society's done judging.
But I would also argue that
society used to judge.
No,
we
judging.
Don't judge anymore.
No judging. And I would argue that the porn takes the, you know, the need away. You know what I mean? It's like,
Preponderance of porn. A preponderance of porn.
That's Adam's new book.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse?
Yes, sir?
Yeah, we get it. On the other hand, life needs to be broken up into stages.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a stage where we're going to grade school and making friends and becoming independent and learning about ourselves and our place in the world.
Ourselves
and our place in the world. And then we need the part where it's time to go to high school and become a little more independent, adult, and have relationships, a sexual relationship. And then there's moving out, and then there's a career, and then there's having children and looking after others and becoming a father and a mother. And this whole point where I'm going to be 14 with a driver's license and I can buy booze and I got cash and I'll just do that for 50 years. That's kind of a flat line. Mm. I mean, we can say it's a fun flat line, but it's a flat line. Mm-hmm. Your life should have segments.
Develop it. Should develop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll put it.
And then decay.
Right. Like Drew. What I'm saying is like, hey, I love playing high school football, but you don't play high school football your entire life. You have to move on to a career and to other things that satisfy you and whatever it is. And, you know, Jesse's 28.
In your case,
fine.
Talking about high school football.
Right. I moved on to talking about high school football. So that's, you want to be able to transition from this period to that period to the next period, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think we're doing quite enough of that.
Well, I think some of that, too, is much like what you said about the judging. Things are changing so much that the navigation is sort of the road down which we navigate is a little less clear, you know?
Yes.
It's like we used to be bowling and the rails used to be up. The rails are down now, and people are like getting into the gutters, and you know, it's so clear anymore how to get down the middle.
Yeah, well, I don't like to talk about myself, but me writing a book 7-8 years ago saying in 50 years we'll all be chicks, I must have been thinking about this stuff. I wouldn't have titled the book that if it wasn't what I was thinking. And we have not been jogging that direction. We've been sprinting that direction since that book came out. Like a lot of the stuff I said in that book was a joke, like, hey, in 50 years, a lot of it's we're there or we're going that way pretty fast. And I'm not down with it because I do not sign off on the all change is progress. There's a flaw to the all change is progress people, which is it's not all progress. A lot of the stuff, you know, hey, get rid of those separate drinking fountains for blacks and whites. That is progress.
Yeah.
Much of the stuff we're heading toward, not. So don't mistake it for progress. I'll tell you about LifeLock. Update your smartphone operating system now. I don't know if you guys know, but a security researcher found a bug in a Wi-Fi chip making billions of phones vulnerable to hackers. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. Don't let it happen to you. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock, they're the best. I've had them for years now. Kids have it. Wife, listen, if you have a social security number, you need LifeLock like me. Drew.
Do it the way Dawson does it. Join now and get a 15% discount off your first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code ADAM15, that is ADAM15, to save 15% off your first year LifeLock membership at 1-800-LIFELOCK. Offer ends August 27th. Terms apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM15.
Devin, 27, Portland.
Hey, dudes. Long time, second time. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Good. Hey, Adam, I saw you at Laguna. I actually said hi to you next to your 935, but it was running. It was super loud, but you and Matt, I was the guy in the denim shirt and the weird, funky frames.
Yeah. Facial hair? Something with facial hair.
Yeah, a little scruff.
You had a hat.
A little scruff. Yeah. I had a hat, yeah.
Just narrowed it down to 63,000 of the 70,000 people who are there.
Narrowed it down.
He had a hat at a daytime race at Laguna Seca. Wow, man. Yeah. We could have found the Unabomber in days if we had eyes like yours. He was between 5 and 9 feet. Okay.
Just say.
He had a hat. Did you have a hat?
I did, a Datsun hat.
I knew it. Chris knew it. All right.
Yeah,
well,
no, I talked to Chris too. Yeah. Anyway.
Hold on. Was the hat on?
Facial hair on?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. Was everyone nice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrong place.
It was real sweet.
No.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, so I remember you being a tall guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm about your height, 6'2"-ish.
With some facial hair. A hat,
uh-huh.
The glasses, and a little bit of an exotic dark look. Not a dark-skinned person, but a little swarthy look. Is that you, Devin?
Yeah, well, I'm Irish, but I was pretty sunburned, so probably.
Oh.
Yeah. Super white guy with red hair. Yeah, swarthy.
Yeah.
I may even think
about that. No, I got pretty dark hair, but...
Okay, go ahead, Devin.
Anyway, yeah. So,
like
yeah,
Snow.
This morning I lost my my normal day job, and I'd been toying with this idea of starting a dog training business. I used to train canines in the Air Force, and you know, I've done it on the side before, just through Craigslist ads and stuff, and it's done pretty well. And the only reason I didn't pursue it full time is because I always had a daytime gig. And,
can I tell you, a regular dude who learned how to do this in the Air Force versus the 60-something-year-old guy struggling with his sexuality and the fanny packs who calls your dog sweet spirit and is walking around with the chew toys, you know, the treats and the fanny pack. I could do without that dude. Like, I'd like a little more straightforward. I did this in the military. I know how this works. Dude. We're looking at a picture of you, the denim hat. No, you're not the guy I was thinking of, but we see you off to the right. Chris has produced a picture for us. Car draw.
No, yeah,
draw
I talked to crowd. Chris by the fence when he was shooting pictures of you racing, and I felt bad because the fence was taller than he was, and I wanted to ask if he wanted me to get some pictures. But
yeah, no, but the fence is really just to keep him out, not to keep regular sex people out.
Good luck.
Now, people crowded around because they knew this is the car that won Le Mans?
People have.
Does it make a throaty sound that attracts?
People have a thing. There are probably 550 cars at the race, and the cars mean different things to different people.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, you know, that it's kind of that thing where you go like, well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Yeah, but we all agree on Claudia Schiffer, like, don't we? Like. We can all agree on this.
I sign off.
You sign off. I sign off. But that's what I'm – old reference. But what I'm saying is we try to sell a lot of this. Well, this guy, he likes this. And they're like, and there's a little of that. But some of the cars are just bitching.
Yeah.
And this car is a bitching car.
Yeah.
And so it's – A, the subject is bitching. The car's just bitching. Also, it has a bitchin' history.
Yeah.
Also, it has Paul Newman's name on it, and now it has me driving it. So between that stuff, it's enough to draw a crowd.
Got it.
All right. Sorry, Devin. Yeah, I like your idea of training the dogs.
I do, too.
Drew's good at it.
Okay.
I'm not bad with the dogs, but I would love to talk to somebody that could, you know, really, like, you know, has trained dogs for, like, jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart jobs.
Much better than training them not to hump the pillow or pee on the carpet, but this, like, training them in the military.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So we're all about it, Devin. We give it. And Drew's a natural, man. Every time Drew shows up in front of one of my dogs, barking commands at it. Tell him what to do. Why don't you just come over and let it lick your knee like everyone else does?
I do that, too. First of all, your dog's...
He's got Phil. Like, the second he walks in, it's his job to coach up Phil.
Well, because Phil, first of all, Phil's out of control unless he's got some food, and then he's good. And so I want to get him, like, in control before I, like, drown in his slobber, which is, you know, where you go with Phil.
Yeah.
I love Phil. I love Phil.
But, now, he's mellowed out. Yeah. They say they got to get to about two, but they're still puppies when they're two. Yeah. Now, he's pretty much okay, but he will pick on the weak. And
he's such a horse that if he gets even a little bit wily, you're in trouble.
Now that I think about it, he used to, if you forget, you may remember this, I would leave your house with bite marks on my forearm every time. He would just grab mine and go, come with me. He just like, you're coming with me, man. He'd bite down on your forearm and take you.
He does this thing. Tell me if you think you can train him for this. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you about on tomorrow's show. Remind me. But I want to know what you want to know. Or what you can do about this. Yeah. I have a dilemma. All right?
All right.
And I want you to tell me how to solve this dilemma.
We'll see.
All right. Live show, stand-up show, one-man show, Chicago, Park West, September 23rd, and then October 13th, Minneapolis, and Saturday, October 14th, Nashville. Just go to adamcarolla.com. Me and Prager are going to be at the Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. That's November 29th. Live shows around coming up, Irvine, Oxnard, and all that. Just go to adamcarolla.com. And Chassis, lots of good movies there, CHASSY. And Drew,
go to doctor.com, check out the family pods there.
So, until next time, Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew Saint. Mahalo.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.